Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston. You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. You know what day it is. It's Friday, Junior. We are almost there, and you're going to hopefully be sailing into a nice July 4th weekend. It is Thursday, June 30th. We have a great show planned for you today, and if you want to take part in it, it's 844-500-4242. We love having you on, calling in, weighing in. We've had a lot of great callers already this week, and I'm sure today will be no exception. There are a lot of headlines. I think the Supreme Court this week is really eating up a lot of the news cycle, and for good reason. I think today is the last day of their decisions. And they ruled, this is the most recent one I've read about, that Biden can end the Remain in Mexico immigration policy that was utilized under the Trump administration. In other words, I've been very into translations, so let me translate this. There will be even less obstruction for illegal aliens to pour over the border. In my mind, I do assume that this is going to incentivize more people trying to get over here, probably, and unfortunately, more human smuggling, more human trafficking, which if you are watching these networks and you're confused where all the coverage went of those 51 people who died in the tractor trailer in Texas, it had a short, short shelf life for the news channels. I don't even think anyone asked Biden about it today. He was speaking in Madrid. I don't think any of those reporters had the cojones to ask him that question. And they just let him drone on and on and on about the Supreme Court and about, you know, how everyone's to blame except for him. So he didn't have to answer about the 51 migrants who died dehydrated and overheated in a tractor trailer because of his failed immigration policies, because nobody asked him about it. That's the thing. If no one asks you, you don't have to answer the question. They also, the Supreme Court today, dealt a big blow to the EPA. Whenever I hear about the EPA, Jared, what do you think is the first thing that comes into my mind?
How dare you?
Take a guess.
John Kerry?
No. The Simpsons. I feel like I saw the Simpsons movie and it had a lot to do with the EPA.
Oh, right. The movie. Yes, it did. Yeah, when they domed
Springfield. Yeah, they domed it and then they were pouring stuff into the lake with the EPA. So that's my immediate thought when I hear about the EPA. But the Supreme Court has decided that the EPA does not have the ability to regulate carbon emissions from existing power plants. When they came out with this announcement today,
blah, 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 blah.
When we got this decision, you could hear, if you were really quiet, you could hear John Kerry whimpering. This is a huge, huge blow to John Kerry.
He did not, however, throw some Heinz 57 against the wall.
No, he doesn't.
He's not allowed to do that.
He's not. You know, Jared, you don't want to dabble. You don't want to dabble in your own stuff, you know, and he stays away from ketchup. He's a Gray Poupon kind of guy. But you can always tell if you're going to like these decisions based off how CNN writes them up. And I want to read you CNN's headline about this. Supreme Court curbs EPA's ability to fight climate change. That's what they're doing.
It's a hell of a lot of journalism.
Is this what AOC would call an overreach? Do people realize that the Supreme Court is not sitting there being like, oh, what should we do now? You know what we should do? We should curb the EPA's ability to fight climate change. They're going based off the law. And they're trying to make rulings based off that. They're trying to make rulings based off the Constitution and what they think can stand up. It's not that they're out there getting together going, oh, yeah, now we're going to take on the EPA and we're going to make sure that they can't fight the good fight. And I'll read you a little bit about that decision. And it's interesting. It's interesting to read about. It's interesting to understand why they made that decision. But I think CNN, of course, has a better description than anyone else.
Go there.
The Supreme Court curbed the EPA's ability to broadly regulate carbon emissions from existing power plants, a major defeat for the Biden administration's attempts to slash emissions at a moment, I thought maybe they'd say at a moment when everyone else has 4 million other things to worry about. But no, not at CNN. They say at a moment when scientists are sounding alarms about the accelerating pace of global warming. First of all, CNN, I don't know how many times I have to tell you this, it's called climate change. It was called global warming, then it was called global cooling, and now it's called climate change. Get it right. I don't want to have to lecture you.
This climate crisis?
But yeah, so that's another good decision by SCOTUS. We will get into that in a little bit.
I heard actually while that decision was being made, Justice Clarence Thomas reached over and tried to grab the steering wheel of the beast whilst making the ruling.
Oh my gosh.
I've heard.
Was he lunging at people? You hate to see it. No more lunging.
Collarbones flying left and right.
Common sense lunge control. That's what I say. Yeah, but this decision about the EPA is funny because the Supreme Court says it called in the so-called major questions doctrine, a ruling that will impact the federal government's authority to regulate in other areas of climate policy. As well, I'm not going to sit here and claim that I'm going to give you all the details on this because a lot of these decisions, I'm reading a lot about them as I go. But I will say that maybe this is because the Supreme Court doesn't think that the EPA should be picking winners and losers based off, you know, their green initiatives and their green agenda. I don't think certain companies or certain industries should be punished. And I know that I'm speaking more broadly now about this topic, but should be punished based off whether or not they're as thrilled with John Kerry's utopia of the future. And when Taylor filled in for me one time, he was playing a cut of John Kerry talking about steel. What was it? Green steel. And yesterday he was talking about green shipping. But he played a clip of John Kerry and Taylor summarized it really well. He said, a lot of this stuff they talk about, it's like they're threatening you. You know, I really hope that companies will go towards this. And the underlying tone is, if you don't, you're going to have to pay the price in some way. So I think the Supreme Court's trying to reel that back a little bit. Beyond that, though, Roe versus Wade still rules the day. Biden took questions today, as I mentioned, in Madrid. And before he was even halfway through his comments, he had already blamed Putin, oil execs, the Supreme Court, global inflation. Told that lie again. You know, inflation's higher everywhere else but here. Not true. And I think the biggest thing he said, which I've seen, you know, the cover of the Daily Mail, the New York Post right now, if you go on there, was about abortion and Roe versus Wade and the filibuster. Jared, there are so many cuts here, so you're going to help me out, but I'm looking for the one that has to do with Roe. Go ahead.
I'm going to be talking to the governors as to what actions they think I should be taking as well. But the most important thing to be clear about is we have to change. I believe we have to codify Roe v. Wade in the law, and the way to do that is to make sure the Congress votes to do that. And if the filibuster gets in the way, it's like voting rights. It should be we provide an exception for this. Require an exception to the filibuster for this action to deal with the Supreme Court decision.
All right. Now I have a couple questions and I haven't been in this game as long as Joe Biden. So maybe he knows something I don't. Didn't they already try to do this?
Like you said, with voting rights. Yeah, they tried. It didn't work.
Yeah, but didn't they try? I thought they tried. Oh, maybe you're right. I thought they tried to codify Roe versus Wade as well.
Oh, I think Schumer was going to take a...
But he didn't have the vote, so he didn't end up going through with it.
To do it.
Okay, well, yeah. So, but I'm sure things have changed since then.
I have a question, too. So I am not a constitutional scholar, nor am I a lawyer. I didn't go to Syracuse Law School. But you're wise.
The
Supreme
Court
has overturned Roe versus Wade, which means Roe versus Wade no longer exists.
Correct.
How can you codify something that doesn't exist? Do you have to overturn the overturn of Roe versus Wade?
Well, here's what I don't get. And I felt a little better because I was texting my editor at Spectator. I was talking to Howie, and I said, when they say things like carve out, I never really get what that means. And I guess it just means an exception this time. But how does that work? Like, on what grounds are you figuring that out? And is anyone believing Democrats when they say, we're going to make an exception so that the filibuster's not in play, but this time only? Just this one time. Why? Because the next time that you want to pass something on global warming, I'm sure we're going to hear about how you have to do it this time. We have to make an exception. The world's going to end. Voting rights, the world's going to end. I mean, this is just something they do every time there's an issue that doesn't go their way. So I don't really know how this is going to work. It's probably not going to work is the more important part. I have a feeling the whole Kristen Sinema, Joe Manchin, you know, kayakers coming up to his boat and following her into the bathroom can't be far behind. It's clear that the Democrats want Biden to do something. You know how they always say that? Do something! Do something! And so the latest idea that a lot of these activists like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez have had is, and Elizabeth Warren as well, is to put up abortion tents on federal land, like maybe national parks, abortion tents. The White House is throwing cold water on that idea. It will be interesting to see how much Joe Biden can do, period, because I saw a report today from Real Clear Politics that his approval rating has hit 38%. And I keep thinking he's bottoming out. I'm like, oh, this is the lowest. But it's like the limbo. How low can you go? How low can you go? You can go low. You know what? I'm saying like 35 by the midterms. I'd love to see a 35. 33, Larry Bird. Let's get it to 33.
When they go low, Joe Biden goes lower.
Yes, he does. And you know what I love today, Jared? You know what? I'll save it. I always do this. I try to get so much into this first opening because I miss all of you and I want to tell you everything that's been on my mind.
You're like,
but I'm
going
to save it.
He's so excited about NATO, he's confusing countries.
You know, Jared.
It's a quote. He said that.
We're not even into the second segment and you're saying I'm like Joe Biden. So you're supposed
that's
to.
That's like Joe. You're not
supposed
you're
to.
Like
I
Joe.
Heard you're like Joe. Play the tapes. Play the tapes because I have a bone to pick with you now. We've started off on a bad foot. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack is back. We still get asked all the time, does it really work? And the answer is yes. You need to get your hands on these air purifiers. They're really great. And right now is a perfect time with the 3-Pack. You can use it in your kitchen to get rid of smells. I didn't say cover up smells. I said eliminate smells. It also is great in basements if you have that musty smell. And it's really great for allergens. The pollen this year has been crazy. Everyone's tweeting about it. Elon Musk, Jack Posobiec. Pollen's driving everybody nuts. Jared, I know it drives you nuts too.
Yeah, but the Eden Pure Thunderstorm is great because just like Grace was saying, it does with odors. It purifies the air. It sends out the ions, which ionize and create that super oxygen. And the super oxygen is what eliminates allergens and pollutants in the air the same way it does odors.
Absolutely. And like we said, there are no air filters to replace, so it's saving you time and money. Get the 3-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com. Put in code word GRACE3. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code word GRACE3. Shipping is free. Call in. I'm going to take all your calls this hour. It's 844-500-4242. First hour is all calls. So we will be right back, and I want to hear from you. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
My name is Grace Curley, and I am thrilled to be here with you today. In that opening, I always do this. I write down all these things I'm going to talk about, and then we drill down on one story. And then I realized we still got so much more to go. We got to talk about Jamie Raskin on with Jake Tapper. We have to talk about the political report today about Karine Jean-Pierre. We have to talk about Kamala Harris backtracking and reversing what she had said previously about running for office with Joe, that they were going to be on the ticket together, full stop. Which, if you know me, you know full stop is one of my favorite things politicians say. It's cringe. It's cringe, as the kids say, when politicians tell you full stop. And we're going to get to all of that, so don't worry. But, you know, Jared, I have to say, Joe Biden's just coming off his G7 meeting with all those leaders where they were all talking about Vladimir Putin's shirtless horseback riding and climate change and eating lunch and slapping each other's backs and smiling for the cameras and going tieless like, you know, chill guys do. And it feels almost a little bit rude that the Supreme Court would decide to deal this major blow to not only the EPA, but to Greta Thunberg, to climate activists all over the world, when they decided that Congress did not give EPA the power to devise emission caps based on the generation shifting approach the agency took in the Obama era clean power plan. If you just heard that and said, huh? Just know that it's bad for the EPA. And so that means it's bad for Joe Biden.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, that's what I heard too. Blah, 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 blah. But anything that I think makes John Kerry say, lover, this has really put a damper on the July 4th weekend.
That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard.
I'll take it. I'll take it. But the timing of it's amazing because he just gets off of this G7 thing. And you know that's all they're talking about is emissions.
Oh, that's his Super Bowl.
Oh, boy. Well, let's discuss some of Joe Biden's questions and answers today. Because the one that really struck me was the first reporter. He has his list, by the way, in case you're worried about that. Did he go rogue? Did he just start, you know, letting anyone ask a question? Fear not. That was a terrible thing that only President Trump used to do, where he would let all of these reporters ask him questions for hours, no matter what outlet they were from. Don't worry. Things are back to normal. Normalcy has been restored. And now Joe Biden gets a carefully curated list of names that he can call on. It's approved by his handlers. And they ask him questions that, you know, could be a little bit stronger. But this first one I liked because this woman kind of laid out all the issues the Biden administration is currently dealing with. Jared, do you know which one I'm talking about?
Yes.
Let's play it.
America is back was your motto at the first NATO summit last year. And you've come to this summit here and the one in Germany after the U.S. Supreme Court overturned constitutional protections for abortion, after the shootings in Buffalo and Texas, at a time of record inflation, and as new polling this week shows that 85% of the U.S. public thinks the country is going in the wrong direction. How do you explain this to those people who feel the country is going in the wrong direction, including some of the leaders you've been meeting with this week, who think that when you put all of this together, it amounts to an America that is going backward?
They do not think that. You haven't found one person, one world leader to say America's going backwards.
Here's my issue with this.
You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier.
He thinks that the fact that the pompous asses who go to the G7 and sit around and talk about how wonderful they are and soak up each other's awesomeness and talk about how it's the strangest thing. You have a low approval rating. So do I. None of the people in your country like you. Neither do the people in my country. He thinks the fact that those people think he's killing it is a sign that everything is swell. The fact that Boris Johnson and Justin Trudeau give him the double thumbs up and a gold star, he thinks puts him in the clear. I'm tired of hearing how the leaders come on anything to say, America's back, but how long will it be back for? If this is their idea of America being back, then Trump was right the whole time. By giving these people the cold shoulder and telling them what was up and making them pay for their fair share, that's what they should be doing. Because if this is their idea of things going well, well, then maybe they just want all, maybe they aren't wanting America to be back after all. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about Karine Jean-Pierre, play some more of these Biden sound cuts, and take your calls. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Russia, Russia, Russia.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Now I'd be happy to take your questions. And the first question I'm told is Darlene Superville from the Associated Press.
It really is embarrassing. And I didn't even want to tell people this because I wanted to get through the first half of the first hour. There's a really concerning clip going around of Joe Biden clapping randomly, but he's not touching his hands together at all. He just makes this strange motion. He's sitting next to Tony Blinken, who's pretending not to see what's happening, which is probably 90% of Tony's job at this point, is to just stare straight ahead and say, I'm not going to look over. You know, Tony should really put his headphones in and listen to some Spotify. Listen to Olivia Rodrigo, you know, just to get through the day. But yeah, Biden thinks that because people at the G7 brunch drink their mimosas and tell him that he's doing a bang-up job. And you know what this reminds me of, Jared? It's like they hated how Trump cut through the BS and held them accountable and called them out. And so now they've got this old grandpa who lets them do whatever they want. And suddenly they're looking at, you know, you see Macron. Macron goes up to Joe a few days ago and they have a whole conversation about how he's telling Joe, just so you know, like the Saudis can't really produce any, they're kind of at capacity for producing oil. And you look at the video and you think Macron looks pretty good. I mean, after hanging around with Joe Biden for a while, I'm looking at Macron now and thinking, hey, he's not too bad. He seems pretty cognizant. He seems like he's awake and like he knows what he's talking about to some degree. It's as if you dated a huge loser for years and then you meet this guy afterwards and you think, wow, this is what I've been missing compared to the last guy. You're Prince Charming. That's what happens when Joe Biden talks to anybody. But he really thinks that someone like Boris Johnson telling him, oh, we're so happy to have you. I mean, you're so much better than the last guy. And you know what else this makes me think of? Remember when Michelle Obama said that Trump was like the stepdad and he would feed you junk food and then you'd go back to mom's house? And I guess mom's house would be when Democrats are in charge, when the adults are back in charge. Which, first of all, that's insulting to stepdads everywhere, that they're just feeding their kids junk food, crap. But second of all, I would actually say it's the opposite. Because when Trump was in charge, people were held responsible and held accountable. And they did have to answer to somebody. And now, everything's kind of do what you want. Everyone looks good in comparison to Biden. So naturally, they love this guy. They're like, come on in, Grandpa. We're going to get you a big bowl of ice cream, whatever you want. I mean, listen to Boris Johnson. This is the guy we're supposed to be impressed is friends with Joe Biden. This is Boris Johnson, cut 30, talking about Putin.
We need more women in positions of power. If Putin was a woman, which he obviously isn't, but if he were, I really don't think he would have embarked on a crazy macho war of invasion and violence in the way that he has. If you want a perfect example of toxic masculinity, it's what he's doing in Ukraine.
You know what the point we're at right now is? Every time I see one of these people talking, keep in mind there are some things that you think they could be working on. But every time I see them talking, I'm like, okay, so are we just all watching a lecture series in a college on a gender studies major program? What are they talking about? These crazy hypotheticals. If Putin was a woman, which obviously he's not. Oh, thank you, Boris. Thank you for that.
I can do anything. I am strong. I am invincible. I am Putin.
You know what? I didn't even think of it in that way. Who is he to say that? Obviously, play that again. And we are going to call out these European microaggressions when we see them. Play that.
Need more women in positions of power. If Putin was a woman, which he obviously isn't, but if he were...
I'm sorry. Along with your gender studies degree, sir, do you have a biology degree? Because if not, sit down and shut up. Don't decide who is a woman and who's not. Unless I hear it from Putin's lips while he is riding naked on a horse. Or, I'm sorry, shirtless on a horse.
I am Putin, hear me roar.
I am Putin, hear me roar, on a horse that's too big to ignore. How dare you, Boris? I demand an apology from Boris Johnson. Peggy, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Peggy.
Hi, Grace. Great show, as usual. I have two quick points. The first one is that you had just said he's polling at 38%. I find that to be... good for him. I'm amazed it's that high. I'm amazed it's at 38. I would say if you told me he was polling at 18, I would believe it. My second point is, I blame the press. I really do. After a couple of years of studying this whole thing, every single disaster that happens, not one of them from the mainstream outlets asks him one bloody question. Not one of them. Not one question does he ever get asked. And it's shameful. It's absolutely shameful. And it's amazing. They don't have any Republicans on that foolish January 6th committee to cross-examine anybody. They just keep throwing these people out there, and they're praying that the American people are so stupid that they'll buy into it. It drives me crazy.
Yeah, and you're right about the questions. They did get some questions in today, Peggy, but I was not impressed by any of them. And there's a few reasons why. One is because they give him way too much rope. These double part questions drive me flipping insane. Mr. President, I have two questions. Two questions. We'll be lucky if we get this guy awake for two full minutes. Ask one yes or no and let's move on. Let's get as many of these in as we can. These two-question nonsense, I understand that they don't think they're ever going to talk to him again because he goes like 6 months in between. But these two-part questions are hard for me to follow, let alone for this guy to follow. He could mess up right now. He couldn't organize a two-car funeral. And they're asking him to answer two-parters. He's a one-part guy. You got to know that. And you've got to ask a yes or no. They ask him these broad, vague questions. How about, sir, any comments on the 51 migrants who died in Texas? And they just gave it to him. Let him answer it. Give him rope for that one. Let him go on and on and on as much as he wants. But these questions about like foreign policy and all these big ideas, which he has no idea what he's talking about. And you're just giving him room to walk around in circles. Eddie, go ahead. You're next up, because we are going to get into the January 6th stuff in a moment here.
Grace, do you see the hand of Adam Schiff in the testimony of Cassidy Hutchinson? Was he down in the basement writing a script again?
Eddie, I don't want to accuse you of stealing my script, but I said the same thing yesterday. I said this has the influence of one of the greatest parody writers of our time. This is very Schiffian in its form. And the only reason, Eddie, I said it wasn't was because I think that a lot of directors, a lot of creators like Adam Schiff, they have a calling card, they have a style, they have something you can call them out on. Now, if Cassidy Hutchinson had said that Trump lunged at the Secret Service agent, tried to grab the steering wheel, and then said something like, don't ever go against the family, don't ever go against the MAGA crowd, then I would have said Adam Schiff, because he likes the mobster. He's more inspired, I think, by like the Coppolas of the world. But besides that, there were definitely elements of Schiff, Eddie.
Sure. It was the passion of Cassidy there, the passion. He wrote it, I'm telling you. Thanks.
Thank you, Eddie, and I'm glad you brought up Cassidy Hutchinson because I was laughing today. The TDSers on Twitter, some days, Jared, they get me angry. And Jared knows this because I'm always pounding the table. I'm pounding the desk. But then other
throwing
days...
Throwing hamburgers at walls.
Yeah.
Ketchup indiscriminately flying all over the place.
You know what? Howie yesterday was his poll question had to do with what would you want to throw against the wall? I've got one. Because if I was angry in this office and I was throwing things against the wall with my dietary, you know, habits, you know what it probably would be, Jared? Tuna salad.
Ah, yep.
That hits the wall, splat. It sticks, and then it lingers. There's no getting rid of that smell if you're throwing tuna salad against the wall. Now, to talk about January 6th, Cassidy Hutchinson, for people who don't know, she testified the other day in this kangaroo court about how, like I said, Trump lunged at the Secret Service agent and he was throwing ketchup on the wall and all these tall tales. And everything was basically debunked within minutes. The Secret Service agent said, no, that's not true. And we'll testify. That wasn't true. The note that she said she wrote, another guy wrote it. It was riddled with lies. And I see this headline today from the LA Times. And I just want to give everyone a heads up here. Verb alert. This is you have a trigger warning. This is a verb warning. We've got a new verb for Republicans. And Jared, let's walk people through. What are the classic Republican verbs that we get accused of partaking in?
Well, there's hammering, weaponize, pounce, seize. Salivate was one of them.
Salivating. Another one I liked was milking. Sometimes we're milking an issue. We're weaponizing, like Jared said.
Jumping was one of them.
Jumping. Well, I got a new one, okay? The campaign to discredit Cassidy Hutchinson has begun. So now we're discrediting. And I found this headline perplexing because the campaign to discredit her, who's ever running that campaign had the easiest job in history. I mean,
she kind of launched the campaign.
Jared, who's ever running this campaign, whatever consulting firm is running the campaign to discredit Cassidy Hutchinson, is up there with Jane Sanders as far as money in the bank for very easy lifting. Because this woman, your candidate, did all the work herself. She was a one-man band when it came to this.
Birthing people.
It's not that hard to discredit someone when they have no credibility, when they keep lying over and over again. And my favorite thing I saw was this tweet from, you know, a Trump deranged person who responded back to the article about how Republicans are trying to discredit Cassidy Hutchinson. The campaign has begun. What's the slogan? What's the campaign slogan to discredit her? Catch up. It's got to do something with catch up or maybe lunging. I don't know. But this person writes back, she was under oath. Anyone that attacks her also needs to be under oath. Otherwise, they're not credible. So I wrote back to this person and I said, the Secret Service agents are willing to testify. Let me guess, though. That still won't make them credible in your eyes. Trump derangement syndrome is something else. So this person is saying, well, anyone who says that she's lying should have to go under oath. Now, meanwhile, those Secret Service agents are going, over here, we'll go under oath. No. Get away. Shut up. Liz Cheney has moved on to bigger and better things. Please just go away. But if they don't testify, then they're not credible. But they can't testify because no one will call them up. And Jamie Raskin was on with Jake Tapper. We'll have that sound at some point today. And it was embarrassing, even for Jamie Raskin. I know that the bar is low, but it was a very, very weak performance. And at this point, it's not like Jake Tapper's asking tough questions at all. He's just, he's asking like the most basic questions. And it just comes down to, you have a story here that she overheard between two people. She wasn't there. She didn't witness anything. Do you have anything else besides her claims? And Jamie Raskin essentially says, no, no, we don't. Case closed. I saw, Jared, I don't know if you saw this on Twitter. Someone had posted the old cut from Ferris Bueller. Remember the girl in the classroom says, I have a friend who has a sister. My brother's friend's sister's boyfriend's mom's niece's son said that she saw Ferris Bueller outside the blah, 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 blah. And that is what a lot of these J6 hearings are. It's I overheard this. And even if the person who you claim to have overheard something from says, I never said that, that doesn't matter. And I'm seeing reports today that in some of these lies, the people she's claiming she talked to weren't even there. But don't worry, that won't ruin it either. The only thing that can discredit Cassidy Hutchinson is the evil right-wing media. 844-500-4242. When we come back, we'll take more of your calls. And we have Libby Emmons coming up in the 1 o'clock. She'll talk to us about the horrible, horrible crime that happened in New York City last night, the shooting of a woman who was walking her, who was taking her baby for a stroll, and she was shot in the back of the head. Just an awful, awful situation. We'll talk about that. We have a lot to get to today. More Joe Biden sound, unfortunately. And Woker Joke at 1:30. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday. Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
Today's poll question is brought to you by the Grace Curley Show store. Right now, you can purchase a $50 gift card to Aviva Trattoria for just $25. So get your half off Aviva Trattoria gift card now at gracecurlyshow.com and click store. Jared, what's the poll question and what are the results thus far?
What will Joe Biden do for the 4th? Stay in D.C., ice cream photo op, beach walk, or bike ride?
Ice cream photo op, I think.
Ice cream photo op in the lead at 63%. 31% say a beach walk, 6% say a bike ride, and 0% believe he will stay in D.C.
June, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, June.
Hey, Grace. How you doing?
Good. What's going on?
Ain't nothing much. I want to tell you that I've been listening to you for a long time. Matter of fact, I remember when you was back up for Howie. But listen, I just want to say one thing. If we can get everybody to take a lie detector test, because by us saying she's saying she's not telling the truth, he's saying that this didn't happen, why can't we just hope that they would take a lie detector test and that'll cure all that? But let me just tell you one thing, one more thing. I am a Democrat, and I love it. I am not ashamed. But when you mention Democrat, do me a favor. Say not all Democrats. I'm talking about some of those. And try to give them a name. Me and Howie, cool. So he knows who I am. Just say June. But try to know who you're talking about, because when you say Democrats, you put them in the category again, like those and they. And we want to speak to who we're speaking to. And that way, I don't know exactly who you're speaking to. And that's all I got to say to you, Grace. And have yourself a great day. Thank you again.
Thank you, June, and have a good July 4th, and thanks for calling in. I try to do that. I try to say far-left Democrats. I try to say far-left radical progressives so people know that I'm not talking about all Democrats. Trust me, I have Democrats in my family who are very reasonable and who I can talk to. That's not usually who I'm referring to, but I appreciate the tip, June. All right, when we get back, we're talking to Libby Emmons, and we're going to discuss Roe versus Wade. And what's happening in New York City, all sorts of things. So don't go anywhere. It's Grace Curley Show.